What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a sort of subpar alternative episode 40-ish of Armchair Producers. I'm doing this on my own for right now. It's going to be a short episode, probably. Just wanted to just get something out there. Last week, we didn't get to record anything. Travis had some things to do. Life intervened and such. And we were going to record last night, but again, life intervened for me, and so unfortunately I wasn't able to actually record anything then, but I wanted to just get a little something out there for you guys. So without further ado, might as well just get on to a little bit of my thoughts and stuff for the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And the big one that I just wanted to talk about, and it's a nice positive one, is actually Godzilla 2, King of the Monsters. I went and checked that out, and it's a really enjoyable blockbuster movie, and it kind of got me realizing that I've possibly, or I'm pretty certain that I've been overly critical of movies and Marvel and Disney and things like that. They, granted, my points still remain in that they're not making movies for me anymore. That's fine. Is the point of this little thing. Because there are people who are not going to enjoy Godzilla 2. It is a monster movie. It is not one that I think that people who are fans of the original kind of original run of Godzilla movies and those kaiju movies, they're probably not really going to enjoy this, because this is very much a Western movie kind of milking that ideology. But just on a face value, this is the movie that they are presenting. It's good. Everything about it works really well. The human actors in it are much better than in the first Godzilla. Godzilla himself looks better. They are far more willing to show the monsters and show, holy shit, these things are big. They are scary. There is reason to be scared of these creatures. So it just does its job very, very well. I think the standout for characters is Millie Bobby Brown, who plays Madison Russell, the daughter of Vera Farmiga's Dr. Emma Russell and Kyle Chandler's Mark Russell. She kind of gets pulled in between the two parties. I won't say too much because I don't want to spoil it really for anyone. Although the kind of twist happens fairly early on. But it was a good little twist. They could have played it up a little bit more. Charles Dance is wonderful in it, and as is usually his case, he is brilliantly chewing up the scenery whilst being a bad guy. Ken Watanabe as Dr. Ishiro... Oh, the screen just died on me there. Serizawa. He returns from Godzilla 1, and he's still not a brilliantly fleshed out character. I feel like they could have done so much more, especially with what happens to him going forwards. But everyone really just does a great job. The monsters look great. Wasn't a big fan of King Ghidorah. Hang on. I'm just getting... Ghidorah, that's it. King Ghidorah. Looked a little bit cheap, because he's a three-headed dragon, essentially, from space. And it looked fine, it did a good job, and he was definitely a threat, and you felt like he was a threat to Godzilla, to all of the monsters that appear in this movie, because there are many, many, many. But it didn't quite look as good as I was hoping. It actually, even though the movie itself wasn't as good, Godzilla 3, I think it's something like World Eater, the anime version, that I think was a really cool take on Ghidorah, but it probably wouldn't have worked in a live-action movie, because it's just a stylistic thing, I guess. But the main point of it is, I watched this 2 weeks ago by now, and it was actually stuck with me, which a movie hasn't done for quite a while. and it got me thinking why. And it's just because it is unabashedly attempting to just enjoy itself as a movie. It's not trying to do anything beyond entertain. And I can really vibe with that. I really believe that that is the true meaning, the true purpose of a blockbuster movie is to entertain. So whilst my criticisms of Marvel, of Disney, of Star Wars, and all of that sort of stuff in recent history may have been fair, but at the same time, it's okay that they're not making movies for me, because I'm 36 as of today. I'm recording this on my birthday. So happy birthday, me. But at the same time, I am very much not the target audience for blockbuster movies really anymore, because they are going for the younger generation. They don't make movies. You know, a blockbuster movie is not going to be something like The Mule with Clint Eastwood. There's not really much modern day association of Clint Eastwood for markets. But I still have a strong recollection and connection to Clint Eastwood. I still think he was amazing in so many movies that he did. But he doesn't make money. And he still manages to make his movies. And so what I have to do is go out there and support those when I want to support them, when they are good movies or when they do string to me. I'm using Clint Eastwood and The Mule as a reference, just a point of example. So Godzilla was just entertaining and fun. I'll probably talk about it a little bit more when Travis is here, but I did manage to session through Amazon Prime's Good Omens, which is an adaptation of the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett book about the apocalypse. And anyone who knows Terry Pratchett stuff and Neil Gaiman stuff, you can absolutely throw out the window any of your preconceived notions on what the apocalypse might look like. And they do that really quite well. Unfortunately, it's rushed. Excuse my notifications there, ladies and gentlemen. So unprofessional. I know you all come to this podcast for professionalism and integrity, but yeah, maybe we have integrity, I don't know. So Good Omens, it's rushed. It's 6 or 8 episodes. I think it's only 8 episodes, but it could have gone on for longer. And it seems like we're in a bit of a rubber band situation where for decades it was a standard TV show was 22 episodes. And that was great for season 1 or season 2 and select option season 3s of series. But it always kind of felt like it was getting tired. There were usually filler episodes, that sort of thing. And then Netflix came onto the scene and started doing shorter run things, like the Marvel shows. They were 10 or 12 episodes. But even then, it still seemed like there were some episodes where the pacing wasn't right, and it lost some of that drive. So people were kind of going, okay, go the Sherlock route of having just 3 feature-length episodes for a season. Let's do that instead. And that definitely worked for keeping the quality up, but it left audiences frustrated that there just wasn't more to consume quicker. And now it seems like people are kind of going, all right, you know what? Like Game of Thrones is a prime example. Season 8 should have been a regular length season for Game of Thrones, plus one more season. They would have been able to actually spend more time getting all the things right that they got wrong for so many people. And it would have been a better product for it. I think there was still enough story there and enough investment that they could have carried it on for one more season. Personally, I think one of the reasons why they didn't is because all the other actors want to get on and do other things. They know that it's coming to the end of the run, and they were going to be very, very expensive. And the show probably just ended up going potentially, you know, forecasting too far over budget, which makes sense. You know, money is finite and you can't just throw money at a problem until it goes away. But it should have done it. And there was enough of the fan base and they hadn't burnt so much goodwill that they couldn't have had a season 9 as a final season. With Good Omens, I think the intention of keeping it a mini-series more than anything, kind of like Chernobyl on HBO, is a great idea for Good Omens. And I love that kind of ideology. But you give the story the length of time that it really needs. You don't kind of go, all right, we're just going to pre-set it at this. And I see it's the only show, to my memory, that really managed to do it well was Babylon 5. And that was because J. Michael Straczynski, the creator of the show, essentially had the whole thing mapped out. He had exit points and re-entrance points for actors if they were going to come in and go out of the show and things like that. And he managed to use all of his time very, very intelligently. And even then, he was then told, oh, you're not getting another season. So he had to readjust. But because he had the plan in place, he knew which elements that he could remove, he could contract, and he adjusted accordingly, and it still left for a really rewarding final season, and it didn't feel rushed. I still would have liked to have more, but it didn't feel compacted like Game of Thrones season 8, and it didn't feel like, okay, they got there, but there's clearly a lot missing, like in Good Omens. Now, Michael Sheen and David Tennant are a fucking joy in this show. Genuinely brilliant repartee between the two. They clearly liked working with each other, and they were probably born for these roles, frankly. I would love to see them do something else in a different vibe where they can, because I believe that they actually, yeah, that would be a great pairing. Those two in an Edgar Wright movie. I would like to see that. I don't know what kind of movie or anything like that, but I think that Edgar Wright could direct those two really well and just play off that energy. But yeah, I highly recommend checking it out. Amazon Prime is $5 a month in Australia, and getting Amazon Prime, you get Twitch Prime, so you can support people on there, which I am now doing with Critical Role, which is awesome. That saves me $5 a month for that, so it's free. Hooray! It also means that there's a whole bunch of other shows. Like, we started watching The Tick, and it's sad that it's going to be cancelled. It was already being cancelled at the end of season 3, I think. But it's, so far, I'm only 2 episodes in, but really enjoying it. And I think as long as they keep content coming, and the big one on the horizon is the Lord of the Rings TV show. And I'm very excited by that, because the quality and the production value behind Good Omens is so much better than any other Terry Pratchett adaptation to date. Terry Pratchett books would be amazing for theatrical or TV adaptation. They made a terrible version of Neverwhere back in the 80s, I think it was, the BBC. Had no budget, and it ran out of time for every single element of it, I think. But that would be a fantastic miniseries. 10 episodes, nice and simple. Get some actors in there. It would be just an opportunity for lesser-known actors to really take on some juicy, interesting, unusual roles. So, just the way that they handled Good Omens, it really does give me hope for the Lord of the Rings TV show. And I'm re-watching the extended editions of the Peter Jackson versions of Lord of the Rings right now. And it still holds up. It's still beautiful, still brilliant. Some of the visual effects, obviously dated, but it's still wonderfully done. It is a joy. You can see everyone is invested into their roles. The production value is good. It is made with love, and I guess that's the secret ingredient. But I would recommend anyone just give Amazon Prime a try, because they've got some good movies on there. They've got a bunch of crap as well. but they've got some good TV shows, they've got some good movies. The connection that it has with Twitch Prime, if you're into that sort of thing, it certainly helps, as well as free shipping on certain items for anything you order on Amazon. It sounds like a fucking advert for Amazon, and it really isn't. I wish it was. That would be nice to get some money from them. But I just think, as an alternative streaming service, it's a good option for $5 a month. You're getting pretty good content for that. One thing that I am disappointed with is Netflix. Not Netflix, sorry. Foxtel. And particularly the Foxtel app on Xbox. Because I am currently a subscriber to Foxtel, and I can get everything that they have to show on my phone, on my laptop, everywhere except the Xbox app. There is a disparity between the products available, even though it all falls under the same price banner. So if I was someone who was just using my Xbox to stream Foxtel, I'm getting a lesser quality product, and the app itself is awful. The search functionality, there's no closed caption for anyone with hard of hearing or anything like that. It is a really poor endeavor, and it has been weeks since I sent them an email asking what was going on, if there was going to be any update, and their response was, we will take that under advisement, it has been noted, and we are looking into solving this problem. In the meantime, why not consider buying a Foxtel Now streaming box for $99? There is no fucking point in buying a Foxtel Now streaming box, especially for $99, when you can get Chromecast and Apple TV and all of these other things for cheaper. And they offer more than just Foxtel, which is shitty and overpriced. So this is an anti-ad, I suppose, for Foxtel Now, which is a shame, because I would love to get so many of the shows that are available on there are locked behind that ridiculous paywall. And so I guess supporting Netflix, supporting Stan, supporting Amazon Prime, that is really the only way that you're going to be able to have any change, because Foxtel is a stalwart. They're the cheap Australian imitation attempt at HBO streaming, because it's the only place to get HBO, but it's not as good, well thought out as HBO, which is a shame. The other thing that I wanted to just quickly talk about is actually a bit of music that I was listening to. Unusually so, I know, for me. But let me just pull up the details. Oh yes, it was Halsey. A particular song, Nightmare. I was sitting in a cafe, Degani's Cafe in Uni Hill, Bundoora. Hello, any listeners from there. And it came on, and I just downloaded it and listened to it while I was writing Vaughn. It's actually not bad. So I haven't got around to listening to it yet, but I downloaded her album, Hopeless Fountain Kingdom. I haven't listened to any of it yet, but I'm hopeful. So that's just going to be a quick one. I'm going to stop talking now because I feel like I'm running out of steam, and I hate the sound of my own voice after too much time. Anyway, yeah, that's going to be this show. So it's nice and simple, nice and quick. Thank you so much for signing in, and next week we will have a regular show, unless life intervenes again, in which case you'll get 20 minutes of me talking bollocks. Until next time, good night.